Spectacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. This is episode 133, Crow's Nest Campaign Show for the week of 10/30/2007. Unfortunately, my mouth operates at a completely different wavelength than my brain, so I'm along for the ride just like you guys.
Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You're about to hear what the Halo Nation had to say about this week's topic at Podtacular.com to help you dominate at Halo. So strap on your Spartan armor and grab a battle rifle, because it's time to finish the fight.
It's come down to just you and me.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm Umo Jive.
I'm JVP.
I'm Lord Gideon.
All right.
Welcome, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot for coming on board here, Lord Gideon.
Thanks for rolling out the red carpet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We definitely did that for you.
We had a few midgets roll up in there already. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not midgets. They're trolls.
They're actually giant dust bunnies. That's angry dust.
There you go. There you go.
And
or
hair.
Grunts.
Right.
Hairy feet. So they're hobbits.
Right. Except, I don't know.
They're not hobbits. They're dwarves.
It's like it when you call them hobbits. You have to be socially acceptable now. They're vertically challenged.
And not that
covered, small people.
And not that we goblins. Have anything. Not that Podtacular has anything against vertically challenged people.
No.
We love them.
I'm too tall. I can't help it.
You're evil.
They tried to roll me up in the carpet too, but my head and feet were sticking out, and they're like, this is just not going to work. Sorry, guys.
Well, I think it was the handlebar mustache that got in the way.
That'll do it.
Oh, the handlebar. You tripped over that.
Yeah. I mean, it's good when they're dragging you around the floor and stuff, but
well, the wax helped to kind of wax the floor, you know, so they just kind of put my face down and just kind of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was pretty cool.
Gleaming.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So
Lord Gideon, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and exactly what you do in the community, the gaming community?
My gamer tag is Lord Gideon. It was tough for my parents to name me that. They had a heck of a time on the birth certificate. 27, I like long walks on the beach, some candlelit dinners, and also dancing monkeys. I just get a kick out of those.
Those are good. I have one in my house.
Oh, yeah. I am one of the overlords from the Pretoria Guard, and we do all kinds of fun stuff for the community.
Now, how long has Pretoria Guard been around then? And what gives, for those that don't know, what is Pretoria Guard? Mm-hmm.
Well, Pretoria Guard has been around for, probably almost 3 years now.
Nice.
It'll be 3 years in December, and we are one of the longest. I thought we were the longest, but apparently those turkeys over at Sword of Laban have us by like a month and a half. I know all those guys; they're awesome. So we do all kinds of stuff. We have some videos that we're working on. One of them is Trinity. We also had like a variety show we put together at random intervals. Just when people start to forget how annoying we are, we put on another one. Mm-hmm. And we run Halo 2 Cheaters and Halo 2 Game Types, which we're actually going to shut those down because we're launching something new.
Ooh. Awesome. And you can't tell us exactly what that something new is, huh?
Actually, I did some talking to the fellow overlords, and we decided we could actually talk to you guys about it.
Ooh. Awesome. So the stage is yours.
Well, we're going to be, here you go, first people to hear about this outside of
exclusive.
Outside of the clan, we're taking down Halo 2 Cheaters and Halo 2 Game Types. Let's face it, there's some new kid on the block, you know, with like something called Forge, and nobody plays it, but I guess we're taking down those Halo 2 fan sites, and mm-hmm. replacing them with a new site called HaloShare.com.
Nice.
HaloShare.com is, we like all the things that Bungie.net offers, but let's face it, the sometimes the caliber of people that are on the Bungie.net forums may leave something to be desired. So we wanted someplace that was more structured for you know, for people to do. And so what we've got is you can put your game types, you'll be able to put your forge maps, and not only will you be able to put them there, there'll be one button that's linked in with Bungie.net. You can download it right there just from one button click. So it's no longer a, hey, here's my forge map, but hey, go visit this thread, and on this thread is my game type. Now, this is just one button click, and it'll have the embedded YouTube on it so that you can actually videotape how to play the map, you know, for those of you that want to do that. So people can actually see it. You'll have a description, a place to put pictures of it, and save films, all on the same page for your game type. So, you know, instead of just having that limited amount of space where you can put the text, people really have an option to go in there and say, okay, look, this is how you're supposed to play it. Because, you know, let's face it, sometimes people just don't get the point when you're typing it out.
So that's awesome. It's an easier and better organized way of going through file share, and it has more options, right?
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. And we're doing more than just that. We're actually going to be incorporating game types into it. We're going to be incorporating a Halo comics are kind of a new thing people are starting to do. There's screenshots. We'll have a whole section for that. Galleries for those of you that like to do, you know, pictures and screenshots and showing just some funny stuff that happens. They're just, you know, artistic stuff. And, you know, of course, we'll have some forums in the background and stuff like that. This is all very, I don't know, my man, the guys building it, Manuel and Frog Corner, start telling me how they're going to build it, and I think they're switching over to some sort of Swahili, because my eyes flakes over, and so Manuel's talking to me in code, and then after 5 minutes, I say to Frog Corner, okay, what did he say? Frog says, he says it's going to be awesome. I was like, oh, all right, I got that covered.
Starts talking to binary, and next thing you know.
Yeah, he's like answering me in C++. I don't know. It's
That's awesome. That's a great idea. And that's cool. Definitely let us know when it's launching, so this way.
Well, I've been threatened with my life if I give you guys any kind of a date or time. Okay. Just know that it's being worked on in earnest, and we do want to get that out to the community. But you know, and I can just tell you from the way things are looking with what we're building into it, I think it's going to be one of the most, I don't say most advanced, because there are some really talented people out there in the Halo Nation building some amazing stuff, but I think that this is something that I've never really seen anybody come from this kind of angle into it from. You know, it's less of a something that's just about, you know, the PG. It's more of something that's you know, it's for the community, because if the community doesn't use it, it's pretty much a waste of time.
Right. Well, that sounds awesome, man. I'm really looking forward to seeing that, definitely. And it's cool that Praetoria Guard's really stepping up to the plate in this kind of stuff. And I know they've been a really great community for quite a long time now. And they have an amazing website over there, and got a pretty sweet clan set up and all this good stuff. So it's cool that you guys are helping out, definitely.
Well, we like to do what we can, because let's face it, we left it to you guys. I'm just kidding. You know, I think one of the strengths that you know, the Halo Nation has as a whole is the simple fact that it's one of the few places where diversity is such a huge strength. I mean, we've got people that are good at certain things, and you know, on the internet, if you're really not good at something, you know, people tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are doing the podcast. You know, we're off making like weird and wacky sites that people like to visit, or if they get ticked off at cheaters, they visit there and post very angrily. oh my gosh, I should send you guys some of the stuff people send into Halo 2 cheaters. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I would definitely like to take a look at that.
Oh, the Wambulance, yeah. We have kids that actually believe that we got them banned. Like, we banned them ourselves. And it doesn't matter how I explain to them, hey, look, we don't work for Bungie. We didn't ban you. They did. They just don't believe you. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, it's not surprising that they don't believe you.
Well, all right.
So let's kick it off here.
This week, we have the Crow's Nest campaign show, and we're going to be helping you guys score the best on Crow's Nest, which is the second mission in Halo 3. Mm-hmm. We got lots of people that sent in stuff on how to get the skulls, how to, you know, the best strategies to go through in campaign scoring, Easter eggs, all kinds of good stuff. So we've got a good show.
Okay, we're going to start off with Dickie61. He says, in the campaign mode, the level after Sierra 117, he can't think of the name. If you wander around the base for a while, you come to a dead end where there will be a Marine trying to get into the armory. On the other side of the door is another Marine who won't let you in. It's kind of funny. You really can't explain it, but basically they argue for like 5 minutes. You hear a thump, and the guy on the other side stops talking. So look for it. It's really funny. Shout out to all the guys at the USN. Yeah, actually, it's a doorway to your right. And the Marine is there, and he's knocking, and you hear the other guy saying, I'm not going to let you in. He goes, come on, let me in. He goes, you might be with a brute. I forgot exactly the dialogue.
Yeah,
but
it's different depending on the difficulty setting. This is the one with the guys from RVB, right?
Yeah.
I believe, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one on heroic difficulty is just hysterical.
Yeah. It's a little longer. They actually, Killazilla explains it a little bit on the next one, as it turns out. He says, if you haven't already, there's an Easter egg at this level. Back at the Child's Play Ball, which was a real-life event, the guys over at Red vs. Blue won an auction to have a part in Halo 3. Their appearance is not that hard to find. It is at the end of the tunnel, right before you reach the hangar. Instead of turning off to go to the hangar, keep going down the tunnel until you dead end and you see a Marine outside a locked door. Stand still and listen to some comic relief. There's three different conversations, one for normal, one for heart, and one for legendary, each starring different members of the cast of Red vs. Blue. So.
Cool. So that means I'm going to have to listen to all of them again, just to see which one I caught.
Yeah, plus you got to make sure you do it on co-op so that you're accidentally killing your friends while you're looking for it.
Yeah, like, I got to hear this. Oh, man.
Silence, damn you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who I'm playing with. Someone is always getting assassinated at some point in time during that. We can't stand still. We can watch television for 2 hours, but we can't sit still for 10 seconds and listen to something funny.
Anytime you get a bunch of people together that have weapons or beatdown ability, then yeah.
And somebody's just standing there?
Yep.
Forget about it.
Oh, yeah. The Apache for Halo 3 is the remote taser ability.
Don't tase me, bro.
The team kill taser.
Don't tase me, bro.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to kill you.
Have you guys heard that they remixed that in an MC Hammer song?
Oh, no.
No.
it's Don't Tase Me.
Aww.
It's so funny. It's on YouTube. For those of you that know what YouTube is, go in there and type Don't Tase Me and then type in MC Hammer and watch the hilarity.
I'm going to have to check out. Probably have a link in the show notes, actually. Well, Killazilla keeps going, saying, let's see, he's talking about the Grunt birthday skull. He says, after you drop down into the vents with the drones and kill all the drones, slowly walk towards the end of the shaft. You'll come to a drop, which leads to another shaft. Don't jump yet. Instead, walk to the edge and look down. You should see a green arrow on a small ledge. Turn around and slowly back off the edge, and then run forward once you start falling. Follow this hidden path to the end, and you will find the Grunt's birthday party skull. The effect of the skull when activated is that a cloud of confetti explodes, and you hear children cheer, like in Viva Pinata, when a pinata is broken, when you get a headshot on a Grunt.
Oh, nice.
Well, it is a silver skull and gives no achievement or bonus points. I always turn it on because it's so much fun to play with it on.
It's cool. It is.
Nice.
I always play with that on now, it's pretty hilarious. And actually, one tip is, for those of you that don't have it yet, you should try it on co-op, because if you fall down the shaft, it saves the game when you're at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And so, if you miss, it saves the game when you're at the bottom of the shaft. So you have the guy up at the top try and get it, and if he falls, you just hit reset the checkpoint, and he'll be back up at the top of the tunnel.
Oh, cool.
I can't tell you how many times we've had to... We'll have, like, so-and-so hasn't got it yet, so, like, the other night I was helping my friend Bob Blah Blah get it. Yes, that's just the gamer tag is Bob Blah 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 Blah. I can't remember, but... so we had to do it, like, 5 or 6 times until we finally were able to get it in there.
Nice, cool.
Cool.
All right.
Well, let's see. Why don't you go up next, Lord Gideon?
All right, you guys got something from KSI Murderer. And perhaps he might be wearing an orange jumpsuit when writing this.
Oh!
says, hello, Podtacular. I'm new to the website here, but I've been listening to the podcast for quite a while. For those of you high score people, Legendarians are just plain campaign cookouts. What?
Campaign cooks?
Campaign cooks out there. Campaign cooks.
I don't know, man. They're cooking campaigns up nice and savory.
That's great. In the middle of a firefight, I always love a good rack of lamb. I think I might have some useful info for you. Crow's Nest, beginning level 2, can be considered very easy, and it is really. The first hard part would be when you reach the hangar. To beat it, simply make your way to the top of the hangar and enter the room with all of the controls. There you can find several battle rifles and easily snipe down the brutes and grunts and also avoid the fire from the dropships. High scorers can make the most of this by getting headshots. After clearing that stone, you will come across a swarm of drones. To clear them out, head to the left side of the room and dismount the turret. Take out all of the drones away from the swarm. This is, in my opinion, the hardest. It is an upward slope with many brutes and a chieftain. Right now, your main worry are the ones armed with carbines. Use grenades to take them out and then float to the top of the grav lift found on the floor. I think he's talking about there's actually a second tier in there. And if you pop a grav lift down at the right where you come in, you can actually jump up on the second level. And there's like shotguns and everything in the side rooms there.
Hmm.
So he's saying eventually you'll come to a room with a chieftain armed with a fuel rod gun,
mm-hmm.
a fuel rod cannon guarding the bomb. Take out the other brutes and grunts. Recommended use of a plasma pistol found in the room. I've never heard anybody recommend a plasma pistol before. I always feel like I'm running in with a super soaker.
Yeah.
Then I found that the chieftain actually comes to you when his comrades are dead. Get up close, avoid his melee, and you'll do fine. After that, drop down, grab the DR, and take out the brute on the plasma cannon, disarm the bomb, and finish the level any way you see fit.
Hmm. Cool.
You know, one thing I did on that particular part with the brute with the, the plasma cannon there, or not the plasma cannon, the fuel rod cannon. I would go and get a plasma cannon, actually, the plasma turret, and detach that a little bit earlier on, and then just jump in there and be able to, you know, use the rapid fire from that to keep him from firing back, you know, and that'll take down a bit of his shields. I mean, it worked on heroic. I don't know how well it would work on legendary necessarily, unless you have somebody supporting you in co-op, but it does work pretty well from heroic on down.
Well,
if you time the melees down that he does, you can go in and actually beat him down. And you get, if you're doing meta scores, you get tons of points if you assassinate him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Halo Freak Bunny kind of goes into detail about this. He goes, this mission can be hard, but a few strategies can help get you through it. He says he finds the best way to beat this mission alone is simply turret spam. You should have no problem finding them. There's usually at least two in each area. The part with the drones can be tricky, however. By then, you should probably have a turret with a little ammo left and a deployable cover. Deploy the cover near the metal grate so that the Marines have decent cover. Then simply take the advice of one of the Marines and use your turret in short, controlled burst. Do this and hide behind cover when your shields are down. If you run out of turret ammo, simply switch to the assault rifle, and use the same tactic. The final room with the brute that has the fuel rod cannon can be tricky. The best strategy is to sneak up and either stick or assassinate the grunts and stick the remaining brutes. Usually the fuel rod cannon brute survives the onslaught of stickies. No problem, as you should have picked up a plasma turret along the way to the room. Simply stay on top of the stairs and play hide and seek with him. Go to one side, jump, fire a few rounds, then go to the other side and repeat until he is pushing up daisies. Good luck, all. Right there, Halo Freak Bunny.
Flowers.
What happened? You said that was like...
I always knew those brutes love flowers. They've got FTD sponsorship all over them.
those bushy daisy pushers.
Brought to you by FTD.
Now, I have a question. Was Halo Freak Bunny, was he talking about the room where you rearm the bomb?
Yes.
Yes. That's towards the end. Same exact route you guys were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There's a kind of a fun way to do it. Is right before that, I'm sure you know where that Pelican head dropship comes down and you got like the flying brutes and you got to kill them all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. well, behind them, where they come out, there's actually a stairway back there. If you go up the stairway, there's invisibility, as well as some ammo. So what we did is we saved the invisibility. When we got to that room, we activated the invisibility, jumped past all the brutes, and beat down the guy with the fuel rod all the way at the end. Picked up the fuel rod and used that to polish off what was left. So a little bit more challenging.
Nice.
And again, you've got meta points on. You get crazy points for it. So.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Meta points are really fun to... to pay attention to those. I mean,
especially when you're getting punched by your teammate before you go into a firefight. I gotta tell you, that's all kinds of fun.
For sure. Well, we got one from Lancelot59, who says, "Hey everyone, it's Lancelot59 with my impressions of this level. P.S. I play it on Legendary." Okay, the beginning cinematic is kind of funny, the silly monologue, and so after that I proceeded to run on out. The random fusion cores were useful methods of killing weaker enemies while conserving ammo. Actually, I found that a few places, like that, and this is me talking here, like, for instance, that part where you first encounter the Brute Chieftain. And that is a really difficult part, which I'm sure we'll get into shortly, because I'm sure there's plenty of strategies for that that people have sent in. One thing on that is that I found out as I was replaying that this afternoon is I found that the... fusion cores, there's fusion cores on the right side stacked up on like a cart, and you can take those out and soften those guys up pretty well, and at least send them over to the direction that you want to kind of corner them into, so you can throw some grenades and finish it off with a BR. So good way to deal with it there. I mean, it's sometimes they're a little harder to pick out the fusion cores than they were in Halo 2, but you got to use those definitely, because they're just as powerful, if not more so, than a grenade.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so where were we here? Moving on to the random fusion cores and killing weaker enemies while conserving ammo with those. He said that the drones were a pain because the masses of them could inflict tons of damage while being hard to kill as a whole. They usually like to cluster up, so sticking them at these points or ARing them helps to mow them down quite effectively. The brutes in this environment are harder to kill because of the random nooks and crannies for them to hide and duck into. However, this also works to your advantage. My tactics for dealing with the Chieftain on the way to the barracks, here we go, is to get him to waste his invincibility by brute-shotting him. He said BSing him. And then...
that could be something totally different, let's just be honest.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. shooting BS at him. And then dropping a grav lift and flying safely to the top of the level. Killing off a few brutes here with some sticks and fort up. Once you have the gravity hammer, jump off and then proceed to own and pwn the brutes. Flying brutes, on the other hand, holy crap. They're tricky to hit, and once I got killed just by one guy landing on me. Nice. They like stomp you.
He's got a giant H panda painted on his back.
He's like, flying leg smash.
Come on, let's face it. 800-pound gorilla lands on you. That's going to leave a mark.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, yep. You'll break a blood vessel or two on that one.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting beat up with a... You're dying with the butt of a little pistol. a 800-pound gorilla is really going to do a lot of damage there.
Some of these melee animations, too, I was hoping they'd improve on them, but, like, the SMG melee animation, it's like, hey, look at the bottom of my gun. Oh, you lost your shields.
Aww.
Yeah, that one is kind of cheap.
Look up at flying elephant. Ooh.
Yeah, I always thought that, like, if you punch somebody with the needler, if the needle's, like, stuck in the person, that would be awesome.
It would.
Yeah, but that would be cool.
Because they stick in them when you shoot them,
Well, you could throw the needler at him like a grenade and just have it stuck on his face.
Oh, I'm blind! I'm blind! All I see is pink!
Pink death!
That'd be pretty great.
Well, he goes on to say a couple more things here. He says, using a brute shot is only really good at close range, so unless you can time the shots right, it's best to stick them when they land with these flying brutes, as this also gives you free ammo. One thing I didn't like, even on Legendary mode, was the Arbiter AI. He is an ass-tard.
No!
Wow. I've never run into one of those before. What do they look like?
I don't know. I think they just have, like, rumps, like, all over their body.
pretty sure.
Man, oh, I got crap coming out of every pore of my body.
Yeah, I can smell like... you coming from a block away.
There's like shooting gas in every direction.
Please don't sneeze.
Oh, that's not right.
Came out of every pore.
They have to carry like a whole case of toilet paper with them.
Sponsored by Supplement.
He has to walk in a plastic bag. Bag boy.
ass bag tard. Anyway, he says he died a lot, and a lot of the time I just see him staring at walls while I was fighting other enemies. Look at this. This stain.
Wow, look at this artifact.
even the artificial intelligence is stunned at the graphics in Halo 3.
Look at the art.
Wow, this water is really pretty.
How many polygons do you think this is?
You guys had this happen to you? Like, if you're playing through on single player, you have no choice but either you're driving the Warthog or you're operating the gun, right? Mm-hmm. And the AI is either driving or they're shooting. Problem number one is you're kind of screwed either way you do it.
Yep, exactly.
Because if you're driving, then he's like, if you drive anywhere there's a race, he will find a grunt that's 3 miles away and try to shoot him first. Or, like, I'm sure you guys at like level when the covenant level where you run into that valley where the wraith is and the two prowlers.
Oh yeah.
I played that so many times. And I switched up, so I'm like, all right, I'll operate the gun. What do you think the AI did? It parallel parked me right in front of the wraith and just stopped. So I'm like, what are you doing? No. And I just got massacred. And I thought, right?
Parallel parked.
I have so much faith in the people at Bungie. I'm like, there is that they have someone with this level of IQ that's running this Warthog. So I this time it parked me. Like, I start shooting and he stops every time. What the heck?
Oh, man.
How about when he's driving and you're on the back and, like, you get in and it's like, oh, come on, floor it, you know, or whatever. And then he like, goes and, like, finds a corner, like, between these two tall rocks, and he just tries to drive up the corner. He's like, you're like, what in the frick are you thinking, man?
Yeah, like, when you leave that level, like, after you go, whatever you do in there, you guys will get to that eventually. When you're leaving it and you're heading down to the beach again, he would, like, find, like, there's a wide-open canyon. He would find two trees that are on the side and, like, on purpose, try to drive the Warthog sideways along the wall past the trees. I'm like, look, I'm staring at my 360. I'm like, you're not impressing me right now. Okay? You're just not impressing me. You better put this in your 360 voice blog. Put it in there. I suck at driving.
But I'm on two wheels. Look at this.
Look, man. Put me in your highlight film.
This will teach you not to get Project Gotham Racing.
Aww.
Make a montage.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, good stuff, right. Lancelot.
Yep. Thank you, sir. All right, there.
Plasma pistols, he says that the sub was tough, but it would be too hard if you have some patience. The room that had me stuck was the one right before the elevator with the gold brute chieftain and a whole crap load of miners and majors. What you've got to do is grenade stick the golden...
the golden melee!
Grenade stick the golden melee!
That's the new secret...
Right.
Secret technique of meleeing.
Right. Johnson, fetch me the golden melee!
So you're the master of the golden melee. I've heard of you.
I come from the land of pie.
Prepare to die.
we'll run it through the Geekin translator. See, what you gotta do is, he's just saying that what you want to do is throw a lot of grenades and grab a battle rifle and a shotgun and then go in and weed them out. And
nice.
Pick out, take out the brutes, and then when the chieftain charges you, you just wait for him to miss, and then you just unload into him as often as you can.
Mm-hmm.
So, just saying that, make sure that you bring a lot of ammo with you, because you don't want to waste it on the grunts beforehand. Otherwise, you'll kind of be stuck to the chief.
And bring some blowing sandwiches, because, it's a long
mission. And make sure you practice your golden melee technique.
Tiger Dragon Fist.
Golden Melee in Street Fighter 3. Actually, I believe they're due for another iteration of Street Fighter 2, aren't they? We've had like 6 versions.
Oh, yeah. Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Street Fighter 2. They're working on Street Fighter 4, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They just skipped 3.
No, they did 3. Yeah, I know. They had 3. And then they had 3 this, 3 that, 3 alpha, yep. 3, you know, shiny gold melee.
3 alpha, 3 beta, 3 eggs and ham.
Street Fighter 3, beta, alpha, gamma. Now with Captain Crunch and Tony the Tiger.
Zangief is like 84 years old. He's like, don't hit me.
Careful
of Zangief's denture strike.
Dentures!
Dude, his dentures! Awesome is he actually manifests a wheelchair and runs you over? It's
amazing. 360 wheelchair spin.
Arthritis knee!
And sure spray!
Pop smears some Aleve on his face. And
Diaper splat!
Lost to me back attack.
Diaper splat.
Colossal.
Oh, you're cheesing. You're cheesing.
Oh, that was cheap, man, with the colostomy bag. Oh.
Oh, that was awesome. Well, we have one from, and I'm gonna say his name because I think it's kind of cool. A1 Windsauce. He talks about some of the skulls we already covered, the 2 skulls that you can find here, so I'm going to skip them, but just want to say thank you for your submission, A1 Windsauce, and I like the name. So, we will go to Atomic Flapjack, another cool name. He says, what's up guys, I was playing through the level with my brother, trying to get the metagame achievements. I noticed that a charged plasma bolt knocks the armor off those pesky brutes. Because I was going for scoring, I had my brother shoot the brutes with the plasma pistol. And then I brought them down with a battle rifle headshot. It's also a great way to save ammunition with the famine skull. As you can save battle rifle ammunition, and you can find plasma pistols everywhere. Keep on fragging fraggers who frag frags with frags. Thank you very much, dear Atomic Flapjack.
The Things
Podcast
is brought to you by the letter F.
Yeah, really.
Oh no, wait, that's Count Dracula. Whoa. I'm mixing Count Dracula. I'm like,
Count Chocula.
All right, we got one from Hoogs88, who says, hey guys, here's a few tips for Crow's Nest. If I had to pick, I'd say this level is one of my least favorites, since there's quite a bit of backtracking. Depends, you know, some people thought it was their most, some people thought it was really some. Well, that's not to say I didn't enjoy it, though. Around the middle of the level, when you're in a building fighting brutes, you'll periodically see ladders. These lead to air vent / tunnels, which you can walk through and skip most of the brutes. This is a great alternative to just pushing your way through them, and adds a strategic element to the gameplay, kind of trying to hide from their bullets and everything. That's all I got. Great job with the podcast, love the new music, and keep it up. Thanks, man.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. I didn't know where that vent was. So it's they lead to a. Have you guys found that?
Yeah, I found it the first time I played it, but I did it on co-op in Legendary, where my teammates were fighting them from the front, and I just jumped down, bada boom, bada bing, did my part, and you know, at first I threw grenades from the top. They had no idea I was there, and then melee.
Sweet.
Whoa,
sweet.
What was that?
Sorry, I had a hairball. that allergies. I wake up and my eyes are kind of blown in, and yeah, it's not good. I go to work and they're like, are you doing crack? I'm like, no, just, you know, snorting allergy medication.
Just a little bit of heroin and meth, nothing to worry about.
I've mixed some Benadryl in with some, you know, with some sugar powder. It's worked out well.
Wow, you're awake.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've gotten up there once, totally on accident, and I'm like, oh, would you look at this? And I was actually going back the other way, trying to find my way, you know, where I was headed, and ended up in that thing, and I was like, that's pretty wild. It's completely enclosed. It's like a you know, an air vent that you would see in Half-Life or something like that. There's also, of course, the catwalks over and above everything, and those are pretty obvious. But this kind of stuff, you can actually go and circumvent some of the brutes that are ahead of you, which is pretty cool.
Is there any weapons or ammo up there or anything? Or
I think there's like an old hat that you could use as a weapon if you're in a crush.
Yeah, you could just throw it at him, and maybe smells it, and he... It smells so bad because it's so old.
Yeah.
It kind of gets him dizzy, and you can approach him and melee him.
Yeah, and give him the golden melee.
Yes, the golden melee.
Wow.
No, not the golden melee. Oh.
Wow.
Wow. I think the golden melee consists of like relieving yourself on your metal glove.
It's either that or it's like a trophies for idiocy.
Yeah, right.
You won the gold. You won the golden melee award.
Yay!
Hit him with
Yay!
Your smack Yay! Him with your third place bowling trophy.
I won it now.
Third place bowling trophy. I had a second place.
You don't want to know what first prize is. We'll just leave it at that.
Nope. Nah, let's just say it's
it involves an old hat that we found in a
It smells a little funky.
A little bit, not too much.
All right, who's next?
Oh man. Mr. Gideon.
Oh,
Mr. Gideon.
The Russian Kolob says,
"I'm a Russian Kolob."
Sorry about that.
Exactly, it's a column.
I don't know, dude.
Is that Russian for something else?
I thought it was like a...
I think it's the kind of thing that you tend to roll up into red carpets that you walked out on a little earlier. Yeah.
A Russian column. Next week, can you please just describe what a column is? So this
We're
way, when we mention your name, we can associate the, you know, the full name.
We need more animals for the Podtacular Zoo is what we need.
Yeah, and if it's an animal, then we want to know what a Russian Kolob is. Sounds like a rare species of rat.
Russian Kolob is Russian for hairy yeti. The problem is hairy yeti, you can't really tell from our women. They kind of look alike. So what we have to do...
Oftentimes, men mate with hairy yetis, and they make a yeti hairy babies.
Also known as squash.
In your country, you call them Sasquash. Here, we just call them squash.
They don't have any sauce on them.
All right, I see someone waving something at me, so let's see. So, the Russian column says, you know, you guys are going to get a lot of hate mail from this episode, I can tell.
Oh, we used to be a lot worse.
We have nothing against Russians. Perfectly good
people.
Or
columns.
If you like the fact that I'm guest hosting, my name's Lord Gideon. If not, my name's Frankie.
Aww.
At bungee.net. Right, so.
But you're missing the accent.
Right. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, sure. That's pretty good.
So, if you play on normal or heroic, you get Tucker and Doc from RVD series, and if you play on legendary, you get Church and Caboose. Oh, so he's talking about what we were talking about earlier, but he's being a little bit more specific about who you get. Both are funny, and it was a good thing for Bungie to add. Right on. He says this part of the mission can be difficult because of the amount of brutes that are found in this area. Mostly have to take them head on, but there's a way to get behind most of them. Oh, I think we already reviewed this part.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about
he's talking about. Yeah, he's talking about getting into the vent and, you know, and get in there. I've never heard of this before. This is surprising to me.
It's pretty cool. He's saying that you can actually get in there and surprise a lot of the brutes from behind, which will give you a higher score, though, too, as opposed to just, like, going right past them. And he's saying that, that you can get up there and just kind of take him out and assassinate him, which is...
So one guy was skipping, the other guy likes rear entry. All right.
Aww.
That's next week's podcast.
I'm sorry, the word cop has gone home. Right?
Oh, man.
Jeez.
Maybe that's what call-up means.
Right. Harry Reentry.
Oh, man. This show is going downhill fast.
The Russian Reenterer.
Jeez.
See where you started? All right.
Causing trouble.
Oh,
what's next?
All right. So, KC Smacker, he pretty much talks about the black eye skull again. He said there's a few different ways that he's done it. He said he usually gets it by walking on both sets of steps in the room and jumping on the crate that he think is red. Then a dark green piece of metal, okay, and then the area right above it. Then you jump one more time, and you're on the pipe. You walk all the way down it, and now you have the skull. He goes, oh, and if this is hard to read, my bad. It's hard to explain the words. If needed, YouTube it. It's a lot simpler.
I like to
he
explain
says,
it in song.
Podtac Rec E for the win.
I like to sing
keep
it
on
with the
fragging
melody.
Choppers, he says. Yeah, right. Well, thank you, Casey Smecca.
Go to the end of the box.
If you go to the end of the box, I will be there.
Turn right, and jump onto the tree.
This is the time for an interpretive dance.
No, this is perfect timing.
This is that's the soundtrack from Joe's inspirational dancing. What exactly was that?
Inspirational dancing?
Inspiration.
Yeah,
inspirational dancer part one.
Favorite songs from the 40s, like "Don't Touch Me, Charlie." And the dance of the wall-eyed leprechauns.
The wall-eyed leprechauns, wow.
Kissing salty lips.
These are favorites from the 40s, I must say.
These are classics.
I mean, among exactly. All the 40s music, those really stand out in my mind, I gotta say.
Right, they're classics. Go ahead, Google them. See what you come up
Google
with.
Google them and make sure that you do a full report next week.
Right, make sure Safe Search is in. Just want to toss that in there. You might find a few things that you weren't looking for.
You know, for me, the easiest way to get this skull, though, there's an area where, you know, when you're coming back and there's the brute chieftain that is shooting the fuel rod cannon at you, right? Well, yeah. That's in the same room as the room that you're trying, that, you know, you can get the skull in. So if you, there's that area in the center that you're using for defense to let, as a cover against that brute chieftain that is firing the door kind of at you. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that little area that's covered, that's kind of a fence. If you actually just jump on top of that, and then there's this steel rod that you can jump on from there, and then you can just jump right from that on top of the vent, walk to the end of it, and you got it. It's two jumps. It's not too crazy. It's pretty straightforward.
Cool. Yeah. I have a friend of mine actually today. He was trying to get a skull from one of the other maps, and he told me that the skull should technically be in this particular spot, but that he started the map halfway through from a save game. So I don't know if you guys have gone through this same situation. Is there a particular setting that, for example, legendary, easy, or heroic? That you got to get where you can get these skulls.
Actually, it has to be normal, heroic, or legendary. They're not on easy. Mm. And the other thing is I've heard, although I've never experienced it because I've never tried it, is apparently I've been told that if you start like let's say that you've ended the game, right, and you're gonna be like, okay, well I want to go get this skull, but I don't want to play through the whole level. I want to just start it from this. You know how you can go back and you actually start it from one of the checkpoints. Apparently they're not on the map then. You actually have to play through the whole level.
Okay, and that's exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
Hmm. He was starting it from a certain save point. Okay, cool.
Yeah, the Rally Point Alpha or Bravo. You know, I just got that first skull, though, just starting off on normal. I mean, there's no guys to kill or anything. It's just a little jumping game to get up there, you know? So.
Yeah, that one's actually relatively easy.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know where it is.
Exactly, yeah. Cool. I just knew it was somewhere in that room and you know, just kind of jumped around and, well, wouldn't you know it? There you go.
You got to wonder, though. I bet you they've been down there for months. What is that smell? I mean... There's got to be a dead rat in this wall somewhere.
Rotted flesh or something. I mean, geez.
It was funny when, now that you mentioned rats in this map, when we were in Seattle, Fumo, and we were playing, I was by a certain area in the map where they had a bunch of rats.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at them, and I'm like, these are the poorest excuse for rats I've ever seen in the game. I'm like, they got no detail. I mean, I'm expecting to see whiskers and, you know, fur. And...
I want to see rabies. That's what I want to see.
Exactly.
Foaming at the mouth, bubonic plague, leprosy spreading.
I mean, if you're going to make a rat, make it anatomically correct. You know,
exactly.
I want to see the shine of the fur.
Polygrams. That's right, 60,000 polygrams.
I really was disappointed with this rat.
That's a shame.
Really disappointing. But no, it is funny though, because when I was looking at it, I screamed out, "Damn, this is an ugly rat! It looks like an old Quake game." That's how cheesy. And, you know.
I want to see plaque on the teeth. I want to see glassed over eyeballs.
Glassed over.
Oh man!
Actually,
I was smelling.
I first saw that thing. I started like smacking it around because I shot it and killed it, and then I was just kind of like. I mean, that's pretty morbid, really, when you think about it. Just like playing a dead rat on the ground.
Yep.
Like, yeah, let's smack this over here, smack it over there.
Pwn this rat.
Yeah, really.
I'm sure you teabagged it too, you sick individual.
Oh, nasty. Throw some grenades, blow it up, and.
Teabag a dead rat.
Yeah. Nothing beats the Orkin man.
Take that, Michael Jackson and Ben.
So, actually, one more thing before we wrap up here is something Captain Crunk was telling me about. Captain Trunk. You, Trunk, over there, you, Trunk, do that!
I wouldn't let him count me until he did the truffle shuffle.
Come on, you guys! No, Chunk, truffle shuffle or no-go.
Hey, you guys!
Road?
Baby?
Chunk, Ruth, no!
Love Chunk.
Mama, you've been bad.
We're in deep trouble now, Francis.
Hey, you guys.
Candy, you goonie.
Oh, man. Those were the days, boy. Those were the days.
Shut up, mouth.
How many kids wind up getting named Mouth or Chunk after that movie?
Forget it.
Dude, what about Data, man? Hey, you guys, slick shoes.
Yeah.
Slick shoes. Pictures of power. Pictures of power. I've been saved by the pictures of power.
Dude, did you have some sort of session where you memorized this?
Oh, forget it.
Dude, I've seen
so many
times.
You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised at stuff that comes out of Fumo's mouth. Like when he busts out a crisscross song or
crisscross. What about if he starts quoting from Coneheads?
Anyway, I think I was talking about Captain Trunk or something like that. But
yeah.
So Captain Crunk was telling me after that long off subject, but he was saying that what you do on that part with the if you're on Legendary and you're going to that part where you first face the brute chieftain, what you can do is you can get, you know, way back where they're not noticing you yet, and you can throw some really long-range grenades. You got to practice a little bit to get the right distance, but you can throw some grenades, soften up the chieftain, and then you can hit a couple headshots with a BR, even on Legendary, and you can take him out first. Obviously, if you don't take out the chieftain first on Legendary, you're kind of screwed because the guys will be closing in around you, firing at you from different angles, and then the chieftain will run down with invincibility and just freaking wipe you out with that.
Yeah.
Hand. So I thought that was a really good technique. I used that on normal, and obviously it was a heck of a lot easier. But, you know, I went and took the chieftain out first, and everything, the rest of it was just cake, you know?
Yeah. What kind of cake?
It was a strawberry delight.
There is no cake. There is no cake. Hey, I heard
The cake is a lie.
Cake is a lie. That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. That's what I can attest to that one. Send in your comments, etc. to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye out on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show.
Absolutely. And you can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO and leave a Halo-related message. We play these back. Should we try this again or what?
Yeah, my mom.
You got to keep that running, though. Hey, Halo.
Oh, man. I'll put that later on. Yeah, let's.
Jay is skipping. We gotta punch him. Get him back on track in that record player.
Halo. All right. Where do we want to start from? You want to do that first one over, or you want me to just pick up the second
one?
Yeah,
I'll do it. Right. Okay. Cool. Send in your comments, etc. to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show.
That's right. And usually we do that on Monday night so that all Tuesday you'll have the chance to go on there and know that it's ready. Like, you'll know what we're asking for the next show. So mm-hmm. if you guys want to send stuff in, man, I mean, it just takes a few seconds and, you know, read your name off on there and help some people out in the Halo Nation. Well, you can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO and leave a Halo-related message. We play these back regularly on the customs, actually the call-ins, and Tales from the Foxhole
show. Ah, I got you again this week.
Man, you know, over
and that's
206-888-HALO.
That,
so. That it is.
Be sure to check us out at podtacular.com, and while you're there, check out the forums. There's lots of events, projects, and ways to make friends and play Halo with cool people.
Thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or site, contributing to our PayPal to help out with the hosting bill, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us on iTunes. We couldn't do it without you guys.
Definitely not. Check out the other shows on the GamerCast Network. GamerTag Radio, Uncle Gamer, Sarcastic Gamer, Achievement Junkies, and the GamerCast Network's very own video game show.
That's right. Well, hey, Lord Gideon, thanks for being on the show, man.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Anytime.
Hey, where can we find out more info about Praetoria Guard and the sites that you guys are putting together over there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you want to do is you want to point your browser over to theawesomestclanever.com. I haven't actually bought this domain name yet, but I'm probably going to have to do it in the next 5 minutes before we get swamped.
Exactly.
Now you just type it, you type over into your browser to PraetoriaGuard.com. You can see what we're working on, including... We'll probably put some stuff about Halo Share and about Trinity or video project we're working on, and just hang out and we'll get to know you.
Nice. So exactly, I'm going to try to spell this out and see if I get it right. Praetoria. So
yep.
PraetoriaGuard.com. Okay, cool.
Awesome.
Yep. Okay,
yeah, guys, make sure you go. Make sure you check it out.
Definitely. Well, until next time, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVP.
Lord Gideon.
Oh, my name
is Delgarian.
We're gonna roll you up on the red carpet for the next person.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
All right, let's try that one again. That
was... And remember, when chafing,
use the white powder, and don't eat the yellow snow.
I thought yellow snow had vitamins and nutrition.
Yellow snow tastes funny.
The main ingredient for golden melees.
You got the glow. You know you got the glow.
Hey, have you guys seen that there's actually a brute that's peeing in a corner on one of the levels?
I heard about that. Yeah, actually, it's on this level somewhere.
I found it last night. It is hilarious. He's over there, and he's like... You hear this water sound.
Oh, nice.
He's like, oh, shake it off.
And then he does like the shutter.
Oh, for real?
Man.
I'm kidding.
Oh, that would have been awesome. But imagine when Master Chief's coming. Oh, damn.
Oh, zipping. Oh, man.
And then he turns around right in front of Master Chief's visor.
I gotta say, that really surprised me, because I was picturing the Brutes as, I was picturing them as guys that had to sit that out when they were doing it.
There's only one thing left to say.
Well, it's good that you don't want me, because I'm currently naked right now. That's how I do all of my interviews.
Okay.
Oh, that's funny that you mentioned that, because that's how I do all my shows.
Right on. Right then.
Yeah.
Show a little leg, gets you places in the world you never realized.
Oh, yeah, of course. Especially when it's hairy.
Oh, I just threw up in my mouth.
Yeah, the only thing I usually wear is a handlebar mustache.
I almost spit out my soda, dude.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Because I could picture him, like holding him, on, twisting him around while he's actually
like grilling the edges.
Stop!
Yeah.
We can now pass the line and set up shop in a foreign country.
They're like, ta-ta. Oh man!
Guys waxes mustache at the beach. Gets sanded, wipes it off with his shoe, shoe scuffs the counter.
This is the kind of caliber podcast that I like being involved in. They got like the weirdest stuff that's backwards compatible.
I know. Yeah.
Like these games that were like rated a 2 are backwards compatible. And then they have stuff like the Prince of Persia games aren't. Only the first put in.
Yep.
And I'm looking at this and I'm like, alright. What retard is over there saying that Snazzy Joe's Dance of Inspiration should be transposed before, you know, like Star Wars Rebel Commando?
What are you talking about, man?
Was that
such
a hot sell?
Dude, I was there at launch day at Snazzy Joe's. What did you say?
Dance of Inspiration.
Dance of Inspiration, yeah. I have my Dance of Inspiration all worked out, man.
I'm actually a beta tester for that title.
Yeah.
Beta tester?
Yeah, so.
This is what the beta tester is. They come in and say, all right, listen, we're going to put on some Barbra Streisand and we want you to do an interpretive dance. All right? Go.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Go.
Tell you that much.
There's no really winning or losing in this game. It's more like what you think it best represents Barbra Streisand.
Right, but because we're only in beta, we don't have music, so you actually have to hum the song in your head.
There's not really any visuals yet either, because we're kind of leaving that up to you as you play the game the way you want to see it in your
Use
mind.
Your imagination.
We just give you a keyword and you incorporate that into your dance. And your word for today is smarmy.
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 Yeah.
What the hell?
Try to
that
make
mean?
The smarmiest dance you know, possible.
That sounds like it involves some kind of hair grease. I mean, hair grease and a rubber mallet. I don't know what they're for.
It's good for the mustache, actually.
Oh man. Oh, I hope somebody photoshops a freaking handlebar mustache to your face, dude.
so I heard you got, like, if he's getting interviewed, so I heard you have a third nipple. Well, actually, they did an x-ray on it, and what they did is they found, like, some teeth and a partial spinal column. I had a twin.
Some teeth and a partial spinal column.
And a spinal column.
I have a portion of an invertebrate permanently melted into my body.
So, all right, so listen, you stop talking about Bob that way, okay? He can hear you. He's under my shirt, but he can hear you.
You leave him alone. You don't want to see him angry.
He gets hard when he's angry. I don't care what kind of an armor it is. A, how does he go out of the bathroom? And B, does he chafe? That's my question. Is there some sort of spray that are they sponsored by somebody? Maybe, I don't know. You know.
Well, it is. There is an athlete's crotch spray that they could actually use.
Athlete's crotch. I've heard a lot of advertising for that. Your nuts sometimes turn so red they look like cherries. Then we've got powder for you.
I am sick of jogging and having my in between smell like bacon.
Are you an athlete? Please. Do you have a crotch?
Is your athlete's crotch affecting your performance on the field?
This week on the GamerCast Network. It's episode 53 of Uncle Gamer Radio, and Paris is out of town. What kind of trouble can Jay and Robbie get themselves into this week? Sarcastic Gamer releases its all-new parody song about everyone's favorite attorney, Mr. Thompson, plus a look back at your favorite moments from the last 7 episodes. On the video game show, did the gates of hell open on schedule? Were the Argonauts of audio able to vanquish the demons of doom? Listen to find out,
if you dare.
Gamertag Radio interviews the award-winning composer, Jesper Kidd, regarding his soundtracks for the upcoming titles, The Club, Assassin's Creed, and Kane and Lynch. On Achievement Junkie, the crew talks about life on the inside of gaming and what features you'd like to see in a universal console. Discover the website that brings you all of these great episodes and headlines at GamerCastNetwork.com. That's GamerCastNetwork.com. Welcome.